Our reading for today in the Old Testament is from Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost, and station myself on the tower, and look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure it dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saves us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day, and turns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, today we get another one of those fun times where we get called servants and we're told not to celebrate in doing what we're told to do, and then we get to say, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Yay. Do your work and stop complaining. Praise to you, O Christ. It's one of those days, but it's a great one, actually. In Luke 17, we get a time where Jesus is talking about not causing one of these little ones to stumble. And it could talk about, you know, of course, little ones like our young time lesson, but more appropriately, perhaps, little ones in the faith, which encompasses all ages, of course. At different times, we've heard Jesus talk to Pharisees and scribes about not causing one of these little ones to stumble in different terms. You know, we have the parable of the prodigal son and the lost coin and the lost sheep, which we covered those a few weeks back. In those times when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and telling them we should be rejoicing over anyone who had come back to God, anyone who should repent and turn back to him. And in today's reading, it's not to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees or to the scribes. It says in the beginning of verse 1, he said this to his disciples. So, apparently all of us need to be reminded about supporting and encouraging those who are young in the faith, those who are these little ones. How many times can we imagine that we have maybe not done the best at supporting someone's faith? Rather than building it up, we might have torn it down. I do like what Jesus says in verse 3, pay attention to yourselves, with an exclamation point added for us in English. It's very nice. It's the whole pull the log out of your own eye. Today's reading in the gospel reminds us to encourage those who are young in the faith who need to hear that there is forgiveness of sins, the same way that every one of us needs to daily hear there is forgiveness of sins. In serving and following after Jesus, our Savior, in doing our duty, we are reminded of just how much we are forgiven and of the great love of Christ for each and every one of us. Today, we get to talk about forgiveness, rebuking for the point of forgiveness. As I was reading through this gospel in preparation for today, I was trying to think of what to talk about because there's so many things, and I didn't want to berate you with one of those days where I just tried to do all of them. But this theme of forgiveness and rebuking or correcting for the point of forgiveness really stuck out. In verse 3, right after Jesus says, pay attention to yourselves, he does say, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Straightforward. I like it. Has anyone done the math yet on what those Scrabble tiles would total? 18, thank you. I knew someone did. I knew it. Thank you, a fellow Scrabble player. We should just do a Scrabble night one of these days. It'd be great. Thank you. 18 points, unless you hit it on a triple word score or a double word. Then you're doing great. Forgiveness is a pretty important word, not just in Scrabble. Forgiveness is really what we're here celebrating and receiving. The gospel of Jesus Christ is forgiveness for sin, that you and I, who are sinners, would instead be seen by God as perfect and righteous in his eyes. When we read through verse 3, and we see rebuke and forgive, man, there are times where rebuke feels like a much nicer word to use. Times when we've been sinned against, and our initial reaction is not like, Oh, you did an awful thing to me. I forgive you, it's fine. We'd really rather rebuke and correct sometimes. We really would like to have some righteous anger that we would pour out on somebody. But the Bible reminds us time and again, it is not ours to be righteously angry at somebody else. In fact, as I was doing some research, I could not find times where righteous anger was perfectly executed by anyone except for God in the Bible. Times when we might be righteously angry, like, I'm allowed to be angry at that person. Look at the awful thing they did. If we're being honest, that's not very righteous of us. And our intent in our heart, in our anger, is not always to help someone come to the faith and forgiveness. This word, rebuke, is different than anger for those who would sin against us. This word, rebuke, is one more of correction. For anyone who would sin against us, especially those who are relatively young in the faith, but for anyone who would sin against us, we are called to rebuke, called to correct, called to not be angry at them, but rather seek to bring them to a correct understanding of the right way to live. Someone does something awful to us. Hey, I really didn't like that. That's not really the way we're supposed to treat people. And the hope is that in lovingly rebuking this person, they would say, oh, you're right. I've done something wrong. Please forgive me. Now, that's a perfect world, right? How often does that happen? Someone does something awful to you or says something mean to you in the grocery store. Hey, you know, I didn't like that. That kind of hurt my feelings. Would you please not? Oh, yes, you're totally right. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Man, if that happened, that'd be great. You should please tell me. That'd be amazing. It's not as easy as that. It's not that simple always. It's an easy thing to say. It's a hard thing to do. It's so hard that the disciples, upon hearing this, they say to Jesus in verse 5, increase our faith. We don't have the faith to do this. We don't have the strength to do this, to forgive constantly, to forgive fully. I say fully because Jesus has told them more than just not being angry but rebuking. If they should do this to you 7 times a day and turn in repentance to you 7 times a day, you should forgive them all 7 times. Now, he's not repeating 7 multiple times so that you can have a little scorecard. Okay, well, Johnny has sinned against me 4 times today. He's got 3 left. Jane, she's on 8 or 9. I'm okay to stop forgiving her now. We're fine. In the Bible, in God's numbering, the number 7 is this full, complete number. All of creation is fully completed in 7 days. And from that point forward, 7 is used as this full and complete number. If someone should sin against you 7 times, a full amount of times, rebuke them. Don't be angry at them. Don't hate them. Correct them. And if they should return to you, repent and turn back to you. It's actually fun. The words used here in English, you can't see the direct connection, but in verse 4, where it says turns to you, that word is the same word we have for repentance and turning back to things, right? I've talked about this before with the hands gesture, right? Where we've walked away from God and we turn back to God and we assume that God is really far away, but he's right there with us. If someone is turning around to you or repenting to you, you should fully forgive them these 7 times, this full amount of times for all people. Every time someone sins against you, rebuke them, which means lovingly correct them, and forgive them when they repent. And now do that every time forever. God, increase our faith. Increase our strength to do this. God, help me to forgive those who would sin against me. Help me to correct them, lovingly rebuke them, and turn them back. God, increase our faith to do that. Amen. God, increase our faith for those times when we are the ones who are being lovingly rebuked and need to return in forgiveness, need to return to receive forgiveness. We understand that we are not always the ones who are offended, who have to learn to rebuke instead of be angry, but also that we are often the ones who have done something wrong and need forgiveness. When someone rebukes us, sometimes not perfectly, as I had already stated, but when we hear correction, it is good for us to be able to have the faith to turn and say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Increase our faith to do that too. I don't know which is harder, learning to forgive others or being the one to ask for forgiveness. At different times and in different places, both can be awful. Lord, increase our faith to do it. Again, I told you I went on a deep dive studying this rebuke word. I think my favorite time I found it in the Bible is from Ecclesiastes chapter 7. This is Ecclesiastes 7, verse 5. The heart of the wise is in the... verse 5. I apologize. Different Bible up here than the one I have in my office. It is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the song of fools. It is better for us to hear the rebuke of the wise, those who would correct us to follow in the Lord, than to hear the song of fools to say, no, what you're doing is totally fine and totally right. There's a lot in the world that continues to tell people that sin is right, it's fine, it's good. What a foolish thing. It is good for a rebuke, godly rebuke, to exist in the world. It is good for us, it is better for us to hear the rebuke of the wise. Wisdom comes from God. Rebuking, gentle correcting, firm correcting comes from God. Not anger, not hate, not seeking retribution and justice. True wisdom is in rebuking and correcting towards God. God, give us the faith to do that for others and to receive it, to be like the wise, to hear it and to change ourselves. Forgiveness is an important word. Almost equally important is rebuking, correction, the wisdom to turn towards God. In Lutheran theology, we call it law and gospel throughout the word, where God rebukes us, corrects us of our sinfulness, and causes us to realize our need for a Savior, gives us a heart to want forgiveness and to turn to Him. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to come to You for forgiveness. Just as we should hear it from each other and share it with each other, we ask that God would continue to rebuke us for our own sinfulness and correct us that we might turn to Him. Today we started a new bit of liturgy that will run through October. I love that we have these different seasons of how we use our liturgy. The Confession and Absolution on page 5. It says, this Confession and Absolution is based on the rite in Luther's Small Catechism from 1529. Confirmation students, look at that. We're still using it today. Pretty good stuff, right? In it, we confessed together, I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before God of all sins. I have lived as if God did not matter and as if I mattered most. My Lord's name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let God's love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. And upon that confession, you got to hear that you are indeed forgiven. When I spoke it as the words of the pastor called in this place, it is as if Christ was saying it to you himself. You are forgiven. When we hear God's correction, when we understand that we are sinners, when we repent and turn to him, we are forgiven. And we can feel that love that he has given to us. And as those who follow him, as those servants who are called to do the same, this is your job. This is what you get to do in following Jesus. You get to do the same for others, not to hurt them, but to correct them and to tell them that they are forgiven in Jesus' name. Just as we have been forgiven, so we also must forgive. We'll get to pray that again later in the Lord's Prayer. This is a common theme throughout all of our Christian faith. This is a common theme throughout the Bible. Correction, rebuke, repentance, and forgiveness. This is the great gift that you've been given and the great gift you get to share with others. So my prayer for each of us, not just you, for me as well, is that we would not be filled with anger when someone has sinned against us, but we would be given wisdom to gently rebuke, to turn people towards God's word, that he might convict them in their hearts and realize that they, like us, need forgiveness for all of our sins. And through this forgiveness, we will continue to be built up as God's, not just his servants, but as his children, as those who follow our Savior Jesus. And in this life of rebuke, repentance, and forgiveness, you will be filled with the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding. May it guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
And may God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.